anywhere.
The opinions expressed in our talk shows are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio. And now, the Greenwich Sentinel Radio Hour on 1490 WGCH.
Good afternoon, Greenwich. This is Beth O'Malley at the Greenwich Sentinel Radio Hour on Be Well with Beth at 1490 WGCH or WGCH.com from anywhere. Good afternoon. It's a beautiful, sunny, but chilly day out there today, and I'm happy to be here. I just had a lovely lunch with a therapist in town, Sonia Rensevitz, and she is just absolutely fabulous. We were just talking, and I am trying to convince her to come on the air, and she asked me, how many listeners do you have now? And so, Rob, what's your best guess?
As I said before the show, you know the answer, Beth. Millions.
Millions. That's what I thought, too.
Beth can't even hear it, but there is applause, not right now.
So I told her I thought it was like many thousands,
but yeah, you
million sounds great too.
We all have an audience.
Yeah, we have my mom,
right,
my dad,
right,
my boyfriend Michael.
Hello, Michael.
My kids aren't listening because they're at school.
They're at school. Do you realize how many times my child has listened to me on the air?
One.
Yeah, basically never, unless he's in the room or on site with me when we go and do a game.
Listen, your child has been here when I'm on the air. I don't think he realizes when he's in the room that we're on the air.
That may seem to be the case. Not true. He knows. Believe me. See, that's a child who knows that the on-air light is like always on when with him, because he was basically born into it. So
we have a
nice audience.
Yeah,
just
actually,
as I roll at three.
So I actually bring that up because of something very silly that happened to me this week.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So I started. Every month I'll start with a few new families or patients in town. And yesterday I was book solid because, as you know, we spoke about it Friday on the air. Saturday was Positively More, our second workshop for the year with the 11 and 12-year-old girls over at the Junior League of Greenwich.
Mm-hmm.
And it went great. But what that meant for me is if I'm volunteering all day on Saturday, then on Sunday I'm working my butt off, squeezing everybody in, right?
That's right.
So I had a new patient start, and she's sitting there, and I'm doing the interview with her, gathering all of her information, doing the assessment, and she keeps looking at me and saying, how do I know you? How do I know you? I said, I don't know. You know, I'm a mom in town. Then I throw out, well, maybe from Positively More at the Junior League. No. I know you. How do I know you? So finally, after about a half an hour, she's still bugging me about this. I said, well, I kind of have a radio show.
Ding.
You're Be Well with Beth. You're a celebrity. I had so much fun with that. You have no idea.
Oh, absolutely. As you should.
Yes. I said, yes, I'm a celebrity, just in my own mind. All right. So we have a really special show today because we had a beautiful plan to have Sandy Kornblum here, and she is an allergy coach, not to be confused with a nutritionist. And she is here today to be interviewed by me on everything allergy related. However, we have a special brief interview with my dear friend, Kieran Friedenberg. And I have known Kieran for years as a young man who is now basically a senior, as simply one of my daughter's friends.
Mm-hmm.
However, my daughter insisted I come to one of his concerts on Friday night where he was going to, I didn't know what that meant.
Okay.
For all I knew, you were going to get up and, you know, sing rock and roll.
So it could have been thrash metal. I understand.
So I walk into the, was it the how do, where were we?
We were in the Greenwich Arts Council.
Okay, right on Greenwich Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this beautiful wooden room.
Yeah, there's this surprisingly really intimate sort of recital hall right in the space, which is perfect for classical recitals like we had.
It's just gorgeous. And we sit down, and there's chocolate everywhere. They had Godiva chocolate out. Ugh, and I'm obsessed with chocolate. So whether you were going to sing rock and roll or, you know, Fleetwood Mac, I was going to be happy because I had my chocolate. And then you sat down and explained what you were about to do, which had to do with Beethoven.
Yeah. So we began the night with Beethoven, which I think is quite fitting.
It was incredible. And what I so appreciated about the concert was that before each piece, and I should let the cat out of the bag here, you are a solo pianist and a classical pianist.
Mm-hmm.
And before you performed each piece by Chopin or Beethoven, who else did you?
We also had Amy Beach, a younger composer. Let's see, and Liszt and Brahms in the middle.
Yes, yes. And before each piece, you really explained to us about the music, about mm-hmm. how it was created, about the story behind the music,
right.
And then not only that, but what to listen for and look for as you played the music.
Yeah.
So can you explain that a little more? Because it's the first time I appreciated classical music to this level.
So one of my main thoughts about classical music in general is that the format that it's presented in is kind of incorrect. It doesn't allow new listeners to really appreciate the music. And so my premise for that concert was I have a captive audience for about an hour and a half. I can do whatever I want with them.
Yes.
I can just sit down and play and do nothing else. Or I can try to bring them in a way that they haven't ever been exposed to music before. So what my goal was to explain the context and history behind each work, but also bring them inside the works and explain what to listen for so that it's not just you're passively listening, but you're actually actively thinking about what you hear, which is what really lets you appreciate the music on a different level.
That's exactly right. And I played the cello as a kid. Mm-hmm. As you know, Jacqueline plays the flute. My son plays the violin. And you know, everyone has some talent, but I've never sat and listened to music the way that I did Friday night with you explaining that.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's a concept that is not new, but the way it's implemented today is you almost never see it in major halls or even in intimate recitals. You'll see some really big names. They do separate lectures on the music, and then they'll just have their own concerts where they only play the music. But I feel the most efficient way and the most effective way is to have this sort of lecture recital where you combine it into one.
Absolutely. So did you see that I did post one of your pieces on Facebook?
Yes, I saw that.
Okay. Which piece did I post?
I believe it was The Liszt.
Which is by?
The composer named Franz Liszt. That's spelled L-I-S-Z-T. I played one of his Transcendental Etudes, a set of 12, frankly speaking, really freaking hard pieces.
Yeah. Good way to put it. So if you would like to listen to those, I believe that they're not just on my Beth O'Malley website, but Facebook page. I'll double check to be sure that they're on my fan page, Be Well with Beth, mm-hmm. and I'll tag you in that so
Excellent.
That if anyone wants to find you, to message you, that they can. Because what's so important about Kieran is that he is here in town still before he goes off to conservatory. And while you're still here, some of us can squeeze our friends, ourselves, and our children in with some private lessons with you too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm here.
How long have you been teaching for?
Well, I started teaching when I was 11, and I'm 17 now, so it's been about 6 years. Right now, I serve technically as an assistant to my mom, who is the main teacher. But what I try to do is I have a passion for the actual history behind the music.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you'll often find me doing in lessons is not just teaching them how to play the piano, but talking about the repertoire, all the different pieces, what's going on behind them.
You're really following in the footsteps of Leonard Bernstein.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Okay. He is one of my biggest inspirations in life because of the way that he was able to bring in new audiences to music. He really perfected the art of explaining really complicated material in an approachable and understandable manner.
So tell me, when did you start playing?
I started playing when I was 5 years old.
Yeah, I bet.
It's been a while.
You could tell. Where are you looking to go to conservatory?
Well, right now I'm about to embark on an audition tour among about 5 or 6 conservatories throughout the country. And my dream would be to go to the Curtis Institute, which is in Philadelphia, but they are highly selective in that they probably have 3 openings this year for 200 applicants.
Wow.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But I have my audition there in on March 1st, actually, and so we'll see what happens.
Oh, well, we will be definitely thinking of you and praying for you then.
Thank you.
On March 1st. Wonderful, Kieran. Are there any other conservatories that you'll be applying to that you're allowed to tell us?
Yes. The list right now is the Peabody Institute, which is part of Johns Hopkins in Baltimore, Manhattan School of Music, Bard, which has a dual degree program, Bard College and Conservatory, and McGill University in Montreal.
Oh, in Montreal.
Yeah.
I didn't know that they had a music program.
You'd be surprised, actually. Surprising amount of places have very strong music programs.
Wonderful. All right, good. Well, we are thinking of you and praying for you as you move forward there, and I'm thinking I'm going to squeeze in a few piano lessons myself.
Absolutely.
Always dreamed of taking piano, and I felt like after listening to you that I actually might be able to, for the first time, understand music in a very different way. And as I mentioned, I had lunch with Sonia Rensevitz, and she has your information. And Sonia, you're going to call them too for lessons. We're in this together.
Thank you.
All right, good. I can't thank you enough for being here. Your phone number for those folks who want to call for lessons is 646-708-1294. Again, that's 646-708-1294. And it's Kyrian, Kyrian Friedenberg. And he is one of Greenwich's well-kept secret talents here.
I suppose, maybe. I don't know. Might be a bit generous of a description.
Well, am I allowed to say, and in my opinion, my very humble opinion, child prodigy?
Well, we can roll with it.
I am not the only one who's used the term, but I know we need to be cautious with
that
term.
Fair enough.
All right. Thank you so much. And
thank
for
you.
Those folks who would like to hear some of his work, I'm going to make sure that I have at least 2 pieces up. And one, you had someone with you. I'm about to post that. And what is her name?
Her name is Amy Buckley, and she's a soprano.
Right, and she was phenomenal.
Yeah, she is really excellent. She is one of probably the best sopranos in the area. She is really just an excellent musician.
Yep, and I'll be posting, I think, the last piece that you did with her, which was very short.
Right.
But really strong.
Yeah, it's a personal favorite of ours.
What is the name?
It was by Clara Schumann. It was one of her 12 songs. Yes, I believe 12 songs that she wrote.
Terrific. All right, good. Thank you so much
for being here.
We're going to take a brief break, and we will be back with Sandy Korblum. This is Beth O'Malley at 1490 WGCH or WGCH.com from anywhere.
From the WGCH Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Dr. Bill Evans with your Doppler weather radar forecast. WGCH brings you up-to-the-minute weather 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Cloudy skies, cold northwest wind. It feels like the 20s with this wind, and we got some sunny breaks. Tonight, we'll have a pretty sunset, but then we'll have clearing skies. The low is going to be 24 to the Sound Shore to 14 to the interior. There'll be some flurries tomorrow from mid-morning on into the afternoon. The high is 34. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Evans for 1490 WGCH.
This is Carl White from Greenwich Library. In recognition of Black History Month, drummer Bernard Pretty Purdy will be performing with his quintet in the Greenwich Library Cole Auditorium on Sunday, February 5th at 3:30 p.m. Bernard Purdy was born in Maryland in 1939. At 6 years old, he was already performing on the drums. Purdy may be the most recorded drummer in history. He has recorded with such artists as Aretha Franklin, Miles Davis, and James Brown. Purdy has been recorded on over 3,000 albums. This program is free and open to the public. Registration is highly recommended. Just go to Sunday, February 5th at 3:30 p.m. on our website calendar and fill out a short form and questionnaire. This program is part of the Peterson Music Series. Greenwich Library wants to be your community center. Come join us. This is Carl White on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
And Breezemont Day Camp are generously giving away 4 weeks of summer camp this year to one lucky Greenwich Sentinel reader. It's easy to enter. Just email Matt at Breezemont.com with the following: your name, the child's age, and your town. The winner will be announced on Friday, February 4th on 1490 WGCH during the Greenwich Sentinel Radio Hours program, and now this, beginning at 2 p.m. For more information about Breezemont, visit BreezemontDayCamp.com or email Matt at Breezemont.com. Prize valued at $4,950. Should the winning family have more than one child, the 4 weeks will be split per child.
There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to Geico than saving you money, Geico also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the Geico app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite.
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
The U.S. economy has been getting stronger, and home values have been increasing. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. Many of our clients have been taking cash out of their homes, a strategy that might work for you. The smart move is for you to refinance your mortgage right now with Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.18%, APR 4.35%. Call 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org number 3030.
Welcome to Staples.
Staples Guide. This year I'm preparing my own taxes.
Good for you.
Yep, I'm going to be accountable.
Right. Well, Staples can help with storage and filing supplies, plus software like QuickBooks and TurboTax.
Go on. You have my interest.
And now get TurboTax for up to $15 off at Staples.
Up to 15 bucks off TurboTax? That'll pay handsome returns.
Right.
Thanks, Staples Guy. Depreciate it.
Uh-huh.
Everything you need this tax season for less, like up to $15 off TurboTax. Staples. Make more happen.
In-store only. It's 4117.
Allergy sufferers are hearing a lot of numbers these days about symptoms and relief. But the number sufferers want most is zero, as in zero nasal allergy symptoms. And nothing gets you closer to zero than Nasacort. Because unlike antihistamines that stop only one cause of your allergy symptoms, Nasacort stops more. And stopping more gets you closer to zero. For 24-hour relief of your worst nasal allergy symptoms, including congestion, choose Nasacort. It stops more of what makes you miserable. Use as directed.
Good afternoon. This is Beth O'Malley at Be Well with Beth, part of the Greenwich Sentinel Radio Hour. 1490 WGCH or WGCH.com from anywhere. And we were just chatting with Kieran Friedenberg. We are now joined by Miss Sandy. And Sandy Kornblum is a food allergy coach. She is local, right here in Westchester, correct? Welcome,
correct.
Sandy.
Hi, Beth. How are you?
Good. I'm very good. I'm glad to have you here.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
We met through Miss Abby Large as part of the Wellness Committee. Abby's part of the Greenwich PTA, basically, through the Wellness Committee. And I participate on that committee representing Western Middle School. And Abby worked very closely with you in addressing the issues of food allergies in the schools with children, correct?
Yes. Abby hired me to make some policy changes and some bring food allergy education and awareness to the Greenwich School District. More specifically, we started at the Glenville Elementary School where her daughter attends.
Yeah, and I don't think that you know this, but my kids were there in elementary school when you were there doing that.
I did not know that.
And I at that point in time, we weren't in our household struggling with food allergies per se. But when my daughter was young, we had the struggle with, I guess, basically you would say dairy.
Yes.
She was allergic to all dairy and had one episode of anaphylactic shock.
Anaphylaxis, yes.
And so she carried the EpiPen for years. And I don't know if you'll agree or disagree with our pediatrician's recommendations, which were down. We were living down in the D.C. area. But what he said to me is, the first thing he said is, who drinks cow's milk? And I said, well, we all do. And he said, no, that's not the right answer. The right answer for that is baby cows. To which I went, oh, that's a really good point. And then the second piece was, okay, we need to get your daughter to a place where she can get through life and have this not be life-threatening to her. So I'd like you to try with cheese and yogurt. Because of how they were processed, he said that would be a good introduction to her for allergies, which started around age three or four, he introduced that. And I'll tell you, today she can have pretty much any dairy, and we don't have
that's
any
great.
Issue. And I know that's not the case for every child,
correct.
Don't know if that recommendation is scientifically proven or what have you, but that's what we're here to find out today.
Right. Well, there is no known cure for food allergies, first and foremost. There are theories out there as to why food allergies exist and why it basically has become an epidemic. The number of children with food allergies has doubled in the last 10 years. That's a huge number.
It's doubled?
Yes. Yes. So 1 in 13 children have one or more severe food allergies. So that's
wow.
about 2 in every classroom.
Yeah. But we don't have a reason for why it's doubled.
We don't have a reason. We have some hypotheses, but we don't have anything proven, and there is no cure. The best advice you can give anybody who has a severe food allergy is avoidance, strict avoidance of their allergen.
So are you surprised by the recommendations that were made to us 17 years ago?
17 years ago, yes, but I'd also will point out, and this seems like what you were told 17 years ago, there is a program out there called OIT, which stands for Oral Immunotherapy, where it is not FDA approved, but there are board certified allergists across the country that have started this treatment, I'll call it, which is what it is, where children are fed minuscule amounts of what they're allergic to. And they build up a tolerance over time.
Okay.
Until they get, sometimes it takes 6 months, sometimes it takes 9 months, it could take longer, but they get to a point that's called maintenance, where they're eating a specific amount of their allergen every day, which they've basically trained their bodies. Now, this is not a proven treatment in the sense that it's, you know, food and drug approved. But
so in other words, don't try this at home, folks.
Absolutely do not try this at home. You would only want to get the advice and care of a board certified allergist to do something like that. But it is becoming more prevalent. More doctors allergists are starting to do it. But again, anyone who has a severe allergy, the treatment plan has always been strict avoidance and carry that EpiPen anywhere you go.
And so one of my daughter's very closest friends, Steven, has peanut allergy. And he actually carries, I think it's a double pen. There are two.
Yes. You should always carry two EpiPens with you for one of the reasons is, God forbid, there's a malfunction.
Okay.
And sometimes you do need a secondary dose soon after.
Okay.
So it's always smart to carry two with you rather than just one.
That's a change from 17 years ago as well. It used to be one pen, yes?
Yeah, probably back then.
Okay.
But
now it's recommended too. What about when a child's at school where... How would they have access to?
They should have their prescription EpiPens in the nurse's office.
Okay.
At all times. And depending, it depends how your child travels to school, because they really should never be without it. So whether this child's on a bus or gets driven by their parent, they should always have their EpiPens on them or with them. In schools, a lot of times there will also be EpiPens in the teacher's desk if that's something that the school allows.
Oh, wow. Good. Yeah.
So I know people who have 504 plans, which allow their teachers and their, you know, who had their lunch aides to have EpiPens on them, so that the EpiPens literally travel with the child from their regular classroom to lunch to gym to recess to art to all of the places they go during the day within the school. And that is specific to schools and the plan that you make. For those of who don't know, a 504 plan is a legal document that has accommodations in it for a child to ensure that they have a safe environment during the school day.
And so a 504 plan might be for something medical, like an allergy or a medical condition. It can also be for something that's psychiatric, correct?
Correct. It can also be, absolutely. There are students that have them strictly because of a food allergy.
That's incredible. Tell me, in Greenwich, are we set up in such a way that that student doesn't feel that everyone sees them having to go from one person to the next person with their EpiPen to make it such a big deal?
Yes. Well, what happens in most cases in middle school and high school, the children are self-carrying. The younger kids in elementary school, in most cases, it's the responsibility of the adult in charge. So that's pass off, if you want to call it that, is happening seamlessly. And it depends on what the parents want also. They may be comfortable with just an EpiPen in the nurse's office, depending on how far the nurse's office is from other locations in the school.
Okay. The program that you implemented in Glenville was a little bit different than what we've seen before in town, and was really incredible in terms of changing allergy awareness, not just with the young children at the elementary school level, but also with their parents. And I think it's really important to note that. Later on in today's show, we'll be discussing the program in more detail and where it's going, where it came from and where it's going, and how it's spreading throughout the district. What I'd like to talk a little bit is how you came into this field. And I know that in 2002 that your son was diagnosed with a life-threatening food allergy. And you walked out of the doctor's that day basically completely overloaded emotionally with the worry that a mother would feel. At that point, you've shared with me that your primary thought was that your son's life was literally and totally dependent on you. How old was he when you were at that place where you really felt that you had to make the world a safe place for him?
It was that moment in time when he was diagnosed at the age of 2, when I was 6 months pregnant with my second child. And when I was told that a minuscule amount of a peanut could kill him, that's where, as a mother, anybody would want to do everything and anything they can to protect their child. You know, we all, as parents, want our children to grow up and fly and soar.
Of course.
And this was going to be the deck of cards that we had to play in life. And it was now my job to teach him to grow up and protect himself and advocate for himself. And I first had to learn how to do that. And that's how I got into this field, because I just completely engulfed myself in information and research and figured out how is it best for my family to handle Zachary's allergies? How are we going to keep him safe? And how am I going to educate everybody else who's in his life to do the same thing?
Right.
So that's where it started from. And then I made changes in my own school district, and I started helping friends of friends and family members. And I wanted to help people, because you walk out of the doctor's office with a diagnosis like that on your child and you feel like you want to jump off a cliff, but
right.
You can't.
Yeah.
So I knew that feeling, and I wanted to help other people who had that feeling, because I knew what it was like, and I have successfully managed my son's allergies. He's traveled abroad without me. He's gone to sleepaway camp without me. And it is doable, and it's very possible for a child with a severe life-threatening allergy to live a normal, regular life like they should and be a typical kid. And I wanted to help other people do that. So that's where my passion came from, that I wanted to reach out to more than just my circle of friends and family that I knew and their circles.
Right. And so then as a result, you became a certified life and food allergy coach.
Correct.
And have been able to take your training then to help other towns, other states, other districts, and other children. When your son was first diagnosed, was that because he had had nuts and had a response, or
he had a mild reaction to a taste of peanut butter at the age of two, and we didn't think that much of it. Children, you know, what happened was he vomited. Children vomit all the time. We didn't think that much about it.
Sure.
The second time he had a bite of something that had peanut butter in it, and based on his reaction, he didn't have a major reaction, thank God, but based on the reaction he had, I put two and two together immediately and took him to the doctor, and he was diagnosed. And, you know, I basically was told, your son has a peanut allergy. Here's a prescription for an EpiPen, and here's an action plan to bring to nursery school. An action plan is something that details to somebody whose care your child would be in, so the nursery school teachers, exactly what to do in case of an emergency, in case of an allergic reaction. And the action plan that I was given was handwritten with arrows all over it and in illegible handwriting.
Oh, gosh.
And my first reaction was, someone who's reacting to my child in an emergency, this is supposed to help them?
Right.
That was the last time I saw that allergist.
Sure.
You know, the first thing to do is to make sure that you are with a board-certified allergist that you are comfortable with, that you get the answers you need, that is available to you when you need it, especially in those beginning days when you are wrapping your arms around, you know, this new way of life.
And you must go through the home and just read labels on everything that day, because everything has traces of everything in it.
That's a personal choice. I chose to make my home nut-free, and it is to this day.
Okay.
Not everybody chooses that, and for various reasons. You know, of course, we're zoning in on nut allergies right now, but there can be various reasons. You know, it could have to do with other family members and their dietary restrictions, but there's all different kinds of reasons. But I chose to do that, and to this day, and I recommend anybody who has a child out there with a food allergy, labels are constantly changing. You may buy the same item at the grocery store, you know, 20 times, and the 21st time you buy it, that label could be different. So it's so important to read labels every single time you buy something. It's so important to teach your child to read the label before they eat something, every time they eat it. And I also encourage people to call companies. That's something that's really misunderstood about the food labeling laws, is that it is required for companies to put on the label if it contains one of the top 8 allergens. But
okay.
When you see on a label may contain or made in a facility with nuts, those are voluntary on the part of the food companies. So just because it doesn't say may contain peanuts doesn't mean it doesn't, or doesn't mean there aren't peanuts in the plant where that cookie was made.
Okay.
So that a lot of people don't understand that. And so food allergy parents, I tell them all the time, if you are on the only way to be 100% sure about a product is to call that company directly.
Okay.
And ask the questions.
Okay. At the time that your child wants to have that nut.
Right, or you know, as you're buying something, or before you buy something.
Good. Okay. What I would like to do, we're going to take a very brief break and then come back and talk a little bit about food allergy as an epidemic in our country and how the statistics are such that the increase is now double, and talk a little bit about cross-contamination and labeling laws a little bit further as well. So this is Beth O'Malley, and I am here this afternoon with Sandy Kornblum, a food allergy coach, and we are going to be right back to Be Well with Beth at 1490 WGCH.
Our friends at the amazing Breezemont Day Camp are generously giving away 4 weeks of summer camp this year to one lucky Greenwich Sentinel reader. It's easy to enter. Just email Matt at Breezemont.com with the following: your name, the child's age, and your town. The winner will be announced on Friday, February 4th on 1490 WGCH during the Greenwich Sentinel Radio Hours program, and now this, beginning at 2 p.m. For more information about Breezemont, visit BreezemontDayCamp.com or email Matt at Breezemont.com. Prize valued at $4,950 should the winning family have more than one child. The 4 weeks will be split per child.
From the WGCH Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Dr. Bill Evans with your Doppler weather radar forecast. WGCH brings you up-to-the-minute weather 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Cloudy skies, cold northwest wind. It feels like the 20s with this wind, and we got some sunny breaks. Tonight, we'll have a pretty sunset, but then we'll have clearing skies. The low is going to be 24 to the Sound Shore to 14 to the interior. There'll be some flurries tomorrow from mid-morning on into the afternoon. The high is 34. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Evans for 1490 WGCH.
Hi, I'm Jen Graziano. Tune in Wednesday mornings, 9:30 a.m. for Time to Talk. We will encourage conversations regarding sensitive topics that we all need to prepare for. We will cover issues that span from legal planning to emotional and spiritual guidance and so much more. Join me for this important program Wednesday mornings, 9:30 a.m. on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Good afternoon. This is Beth O'Malley at Be Well with Beth, part of the Greenwich Sentinel Radio Hour at 1490 WGCH or WGCH.com. And I am here this afternoon with Sandy Kornblum. She is an allergy food coach and works with families and also with school districts to help make place schools and homes safer places for children, and also educates our parents, teachers, and healthcare professionals in terms of how to work with children around their allergies. Sandy's child was diagnosed at age 2, correct, with
correct.
A peanut allergy. And we're here to talk about all of the different allergies. I had mentioned earlier that my daughter had a dairy allergy. And I noticed that you said there are 8 top allergens. Can you tell us what they are?
Yes, peanuts, tree nuts, milk, eggs, fish, shellfish, wheat, and soy.
Okay. And is there a significant difference between those in terms of how common they are or not necessarily?
A lot of children, when they're younger, have milk allergies. Dairy allergies are very prevalent when kids are younger, and they are usually more outgrown. Only 20% of peanut allergies are outgrown, but those are the children who have the more mild peanut allergies. And peanut allergy tends to be the most life-threatening, although there are others that are also life-threatening.
But can I ask the difference between... you hear the term tree nut and also peanut allergies. Is a peanut a tree nut?
No, a peanut is a legume.
Ah. So what are the tree nuts?
Hazelnut, pistachio, cashew, almond, all of those nuts.
And are tree nuts as likely to be an allergen as a, are peanuts as likely as a tree nut?
You could have a peanut allergy and not have a tree nut allergy, as the case with my son. But many kids do have both.
Oh, okay.
You also could be allergic to tree nuts and not be allergic to peanuts.
Okay, got it.
So they don't always go hand in hand.
Okay, I understand. So tell me a little bit more about the statistics and the, and I know that you said that we don't know the reason for an increase, but if you could tell us what some of the or what the main hypothesis is out there, why is there such an increase right now?
Sure. So the hypothesis that's out there is called the hygiene hypothesis, which basically explains that we have become such a clean society, that we don't allow ourselves to become immune to things such as dirt and other things, dust, all those types of things. And so they believe that that is why we don't, because we don't expose ourselves or our children to things at a young age like that, that they don't develop any type of immunity. So, for example, if you take, you know, some third world countries, or for example, in Israel, there's a very low incidence of peanut allergy. There's a snack called Bamba, which is available here. It's basically like a Cheeto, but it's peanut, it's peanut flavored.
Okay.
And they feed those to their children from infancy.
Really?
So that's kind of where the exposing them at a young age and exposing them to minuscule amounts in the beginning, they say possibly help with the immunity and the decrease in, you know, minimizing allergies, I should say, not so, a decrease.
So you just relieved me of half of my parental guilt from when my kids were little and I didn't follow any of those medical instructions the pediatricians gave.
Well, they also always change, but that's basically the hygiene hypothesis. Again, it's not proven, and I buy more into it for environmental allergies than I do food allergies personally.
Okay.
But that's really the most, I guess would say, the most common hypothesis out there.
Got it. All right. Most misunderstood concepts and knowledge, such as cross-contamination, and also we spoke a little bit about the labeling laws. Can you speak to that?
Yes. So I explained the labeling, which really needs to be sharper, and there is, you know, always talk in legislation regarding that. Cross-contamination is a term that means something doesn't necessarily, the food is, the allergen, I should say, is not necessarily in the food, but it could be contaminated with it. So, for example, if you're making a sandwich at home on your counter, you know, you just made your child a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and cut it with a knife, and you went to use that knife to make a turkey sandwich, that turkey sandwich is now contaminated because you used it with the peanut butter.
Okay.
Okay. In a kitchen, in a restaurant, you know, you may order a dish that doesn't have any milk in it, but there could be something with milk being made right next to it, and some milk could splash onto your dish.
Yeah.
That dish is now contaminated. So that's cross-contamination, when any tiny bit of a allergen is present or could be present in the dish you're eating or the food that you're eating. And that's where the labeling laws tie in, because may contain or made in a facility, that if that's on a product that you're buying, that tells the consumer that that product could be contaminated.
Okay. All right. Got it. Now, The program that you started in the schools is really about starting to educate our little ones so that they understand how they can be safe with each other. And I have to tell you, my kids were at Glenville when you implemented the program, and we didn't know each other back
right.
then. But it's just a coincidence. And I have to tell you that both children came home. My daughter was in, I think, fifth grade, so my son would have been in about second grade. And they were the allergy police in my house. Every time mom, and in those days, you know, we were a little bit more naive. If it was a birthday, you just sent in whatever from the grocery store and you didn't think about it. And my kid said, no, you can't do that, mom. You have to go and you have to buy these specific snacks that are safe. And so I really found that the children were respecting the safety of each other way before us adults were.
Yes, and that is why education within the school is so important. I'm a big believer that the education often starts with the children. And kudos to your children, because that is exactly why we do these programs in school. Children want to protect themselves, and they want to protect their friends and their classmates. And it goes beyond school. It transfers to the play dates and the birthday parties and the sleepovers and all those other things. They don't want to possibly bring anything that might hurt harm their friend.
Right. That was it. You know, they were so worried about their little friend.
Yes.
It was adorable.
Yes. And that's what happened. So I love educating the children in the schools because it filters up. It goes home with them. It's like a paper in their backpack that they're going to give their parent, but it's in their head. And they're going to come to you and they're going to talk to you about it. And you're going to learn something in most cases from them. And that's how a community becomes more safe, how a community becomes more educated and more aware.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about the program that you implemented in the Greenwich School District?
Yeah. So we started by doing small things to educate. We had a food allergy concert. There's a specific individual who sings and performs about food allergies with puppets and things.
Yeah,
so it's very
okay.
entertaining for the kids. We brought him in.
Is that a local person?
He's not local, but he's not local at all, actually. But he does come east twice a year.
Yeah. What's his name?
His name is Kyle Dine. You can look him up online. He is a phenomenal educator and musician. And we did a lot of small things like that. We got peanut butter off the menu in the cafeterias and substituted it with butter, which is made of sunflower.
Yeah.
The children didn't even know the difference. It looks like it.
Yeah.
It smells like it.
Yeah. They came home and they were aggravated with me because I wasn't buying it and they liked it better than the peanut butter I was buying.
Right. We also did book readings in schools. So the teachers read allergy friendly stories to the children and had discussions with them. At PTA events, we had allergen-friendly food tastings at tables, along with the other snacks that kids could buy at, say, bingo night. We had allergen-friendly treats that they could buy.
Uh-huh.
We also hosted a PTA meeting the whole subject was food allergies. I spoke and a nurse spoke, and we had food available that is allergen friendly that can be bought at local places, Stop and Shop and Whole Foods, so that parents could see how easy it was and how accessible it was without really going out of your way. Because let's face it, a lot of us go to Stop and Shop many times a week or Whole Foods.
Right.
So it wasn't easy to know that they were there and they didn't have to really go out of their way to provide that safe snack.
Yes.
Along with having tastings. So we did all different sorts of things. They have an afters program there called GTV. And one of those episodes was dedicated to food allergies. And we helped with that.
Okay.
We had a food allergy curriculum for Be Safe Day, which is one of the norms in Greenwich.
Mm-hmm.
And so we incorporated food allergies in any way we could without really disrupting what normally goes on in school. And just this past, beginning with this school year, the 2016-17 school year, we were able to achieve having all 11 elementary schools in Greenwich go food free for birthday celebrations.
Ah.
Now, this is, of course, much safer for children with food allergies, but it also benefits children who have dietary restrictions for all sorts of reasons, obesity and diabetes and sometimes, ADHD and all these other reasons, along with just making schools healthier.
All right, but I have to interrupt you for a minute because I'm old school Italian Brooklyn. How do you celebrate without food? I know that's the most ridiculous question, but I mean it. How do you celebrate with kids without food?
Okay, so what we did was every elementary school has come up with their own special way to celebrate birthdays. So that child still celebrates their birthday and still feels special at school. It's just without a cupcake.
Okay.
So, for example, one of the schools... This is a phenomenal idea. I'm just in love with this idea. The child comes to the front of the room, and the other children are called on to say adjectives that describe the birthday child.
Oh.
So not only are they are made to feel super special, and it's an English lesson.
Oh, right.
They are talking about adjectives, and they are making that child feel special. Another school has a sit-down with the principal and gets a card from the principal.
You know what? And you're saying it's an English lesson, which absolutely it totally is. But also think about it from a mental health standpoint. As a therapist who works with kids, this is amazing to me.
Absolutely.
They're getting that extra attention. They're being celebrated for being born for that day. They're not being, you know, fed and told you eat to celebrate. They're being told how special they are.
Right. And in my opinion, this is really celebrating the child. So another school, they sign a t-shirt. Every child in the classroom signs a t-shirt, and that's a memento they take home with them. So this, to me, is really celebrating somebody versus just having another cupcake.
Right.
Because let's face it, they have their cupcake at home. They have their cupcake at their birthday party. So this really, there has only been positive response.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's been great for the kids.
All right, neat. So in your work with families, can you tell me a little bit about how you can be of assistance to families? And I just want to, before we get to the end of the show, make sure that I give your phone number out as well as your website, because we have parents in town who don't have a resource like you personally to work with in terms of celebrations, family events, family celebrations, really feeling that there's a village around you as opposed to feeling alone. In my practice, I have a family where the parents are divorced and the child feels very much at home and safe in one of the households. But in the other household with a remarriage and other children, it's a lot more complex. Mm-hmm. And that parent, unfortunately, wasn't the parent that took the child to all of their allergy appointments. So there's not the same level of understanding. And that's where someone like you comes in handy. What do you do with families and how can you help? And I'm going to just give your information here. Sandy Kornblum can be reached at 914-629-6124 and at www.thefoodallergycoach.com. But can you tell us a little bit about what you do for families?
I basically work with families and provide all types of practical guidance. Anything that they may be struggling with or their child may be struggling with around managing and navigating life with food allergies, I am able to assist them with. And for some families, it's practical things such as how am I going to shop and how am I going to clean out my house and I don't know how to keep my kitchen in a safe way. And for others, it's dealing with family members who just don't get it. You know, the grandparents, the babysitter that just doesn't understand.
Or is telling you that it's all in your head.
Yes. And also managing play dates, sleepovers. You know, how do I send my kid to soccer practice and drop them off? Or how do I let them go to camp for a full day without me? So I really provide all types of practical guidance surrounding living with food allergies.
Well, when I first was introduced to you through the Board of Education and the PTA and Abby Large, one of the ways that Abby introduced you was to really say, you know, Beth, to live with a life-threatening allergy, it takes a village. And you really need that type of level of support around you. So I am thrilled that you're here in our community, that you're also, you know, in Westchester, and that you're willing to really devote yourself and your work to helping families get through this and make the transitions that are necessary to keep our kids safe. So thank you.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure having you here today.
Thank you. It's been great.
We are going to wrap up. I would like to just point out that if anyone would like Sandy's information and didn't catch it, that I am going to list it on my Facebook page, Be Well With Beth, and I'll also be listing this show so people will be able to listen to it again. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
This is Beth O'Malley at Be Well With Beth, part of the Greenwich Sentinel Radio Hour at 1490 WGCH.
The Voice of Greenwich. This is 1490 WGCH Greenwich.
Travel ban lawsuits. I'm Chaz Henry. The Trump administration is defending its move Friday, sealing off admission to the U.S. for 90 days to people from 7 Muslim-majority nations. White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer arguing the move was necessary to prevent an attack.
This is about the safety of America, and there's a reason that the majority of Americans agree with the president. is because they understand that that's his number one priority. And it's his number one duty, as it should be with any leader, to keep our people and our institutions safe from attack. And that these steps are, frankly, common sense steps that the president's taking to make sure that we're never looking in the rearview mirror saying we should have done something like this.
A Muslim advocacy group today filed a federal lawsuit against the administration challenging the travel restriction. And the Attorney General of Washington State says he'll be filing a legal challenge as well. And the United Nations says it's now received assurances that the travel ban will not impact UN staff members. Over the weekend, some non-diplomatic status workers had been prevented from boarding planes. I'm Chaz Henry. Federal, state, and local investigators looking into the burning of a mosque in South Texas just hours after President Trump signed that travel ban say it may take them months to figure out what caused the blaze. Correspondent Alan Skaya.
No one was hurt, but the fire tore through the Victoria Islamic Center before dawn Saturday. Religious leaders from different faiths led a service at the rubble yesterday. A GoFundMe page has already raised more than $800,000 to rebuild the mosque.
The suspect in the recent Florida airport shooting rampage, in which five people were killed and six wounded, has pleaded not guilty. During an arraignment today, Esteban Santiago told the judge he understood each of the charges in the 22-count federal indictment. He's accused in the January 6th shooting at Fort Lauderdale-Hollywood International Airport. And former President George H.W. Bush has been released from a Houston hospital, where for more than 2 weeks he was treated for pneumonia. A spokesman says the 92-year-old former president is thankful for the prayers and kind messages he received while hospitalized. I'm Chaz Henry.
Look into any great business, whether it's a manufacturer or a hotel, a store, school, or hospital. Look into each and every one of them, and you'll find the same thing. Great people. At Kronos, we believe that great businesses are powered by great people. And with Kronos Workforce Solutions, we'll help you find them, keep them, and engage them. Learn more at Kronos.com. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
This is Charles Osgood. Transition seamlessly from presentation to meeting and from work to home with the Dell Latitude 13 7000 series, the laptop that takes care of business. The powerful performance and incredible battery life from this reliable business class PC featuring Intel Core processors let small business employees do their best work wherever work takes them. Learn more at Dell.com/radio. That's Dell.com/radio.
A former player with no management experience has been hired to run a big NFL franchise.
Former safety John Lynch is the San Francisco 49ers' new general manager. The defensive star-turned-broadcaster wasn't even publicly known to be a candidate until his hiring. The three-time All-Pro inherits a franchise that went 2-14 last season, matching the worst in team history. Lynch went straight from a 15-year playing career to the broadcast booth for Fox.